Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We have a lot to talk about at the Reporters Roundtable as we examine some of the top stories of the week. We have another building explosion in Montgomery County. Big political news this week. Former President Trump runs again. Democrats keep control of the Senate. This also just in. It looks like the Republicans will have control of the House. And the University of Virginia mourns the deadly shooting of members of its football team, the HBCU bomb threats, and a juvenile suspect, and a black man beaten by sheriff's deputies in a Georgia jail. We're gonna get to all of that tonight with my guests, Mary C. Curtis, columnist with Roll Call and host of the Equal Time podcast, and Jamila Bay, editor with Paramount. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Mary, Jamila, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Great to be here.
Before we even get into some of the top stories, we do have some late breaking news, literally just coming across right now. Congresswoman Karen Bass has been projected to win the Los Angeles mayor's race. She would become the first woman and first woman of color to lead the nation's second largest city. We, of course, know Karen Bass from her work on Capitol Hill, member of the Congressional Black Caucus. That's big news. Big news. Wanted to make sure that we got that information out there for our listeners.
It's huge news.
She yeah.
was against a billionaire.
Yes, exactly.
A real estate developer, Rick Caruso. But she has a lot on her plate, of course. You know, the homelessness situation there is something that, you know, she will be tackling. But she's been a community organizer, and she has a lot of deep relationships in the community.
Yeah. Been on Capitol Hill for quite some time. It'll be interesting to watch what happens in L.A. Let us get to our list of our top stories. We've got a lot to cover. As reported earlier today, there was an explosion and gas-fed fire at a condo complex in Gaithersburg, Maryland. We have a report of some 12 people who were hurt, 4 of them children. 10 are in the hospital right now. And everyone has been accounted for with the exception of the occupants of one unit. Even as we speak, that condo complex is still smoldering. And it's fascinating, I think, to me, because the police, the fire chief, Scott Goldstein, says that gas is suspected, but certainly not confirmed. Earlier this year, there was another gas explosion at an apartment complex in Silver Spring. A maintenance worker cut a gas line. That sparked an explosion. People hurt, no one killed. And of course, the horrific 2016 apartment explosion. 7 people were killed and 70 people were hurt. My goodness, a lot of questions need to be answered, Mary, in Montgomery County tonight.
Yeah, definitely a lot of questions. There'll be questions about structural integrity, about response to the explosion and scene. And, you know, if there's a pattern to any of this, and this is horrible. I mean, if you cannot even feel safe in your own space, definitely this will be not the end of it. There'll be a lot of questions.
Well, you know, Jamila, the explosion that happened in March, that was as the result of an accident. But
right. The
Flower Branch Apartments explosion back in 2016, you know, had to do with this being an older building. And that's part of the issue that they're talking about today in this particular incident.
Well, the reality is that we in this country have infrastructure problems, period, full stop. This country has old properties, old buildings, population density, especially in our cities, are increasing in places. Not to say that, you know, population and anything is untoward or there's any negligence at play here. But unfortunately, accidents happen when people live together in places. What we can point out in each of these three that we mentioned from 2016 to earlier this year in March to this one, foul play is not suspected in any of them. These are tragedies that happen much like fires are tragedies that happen in buildings. Older buildings sometimes are predisposed toward these kinds of things happening. And, I'm a policy wonk. I'm someone who says, okay, well, we need to be talking about this as housing policy is a national issue. And as somebody who's originally a Pittsburgher, I'm saying not just housing, but let us not forget about our bridges. So yes. These things happen.
I agree with Jamila in that I do think that the issue of safe and affordable housing is the issue, because so many people who are working with jobs, it's just very difficult to find a place. And I think you see that in every community. So this, of course, is happening in Montgomery County, but you see similar things happening in New York and other places. Whereas Jamila said, people are needing some well-structured, good, safe and affordable housing. And as she said, we don't know really what happened. This probably is just an accident, but these things keep happening.
Yeah, and we should say that, with the Flower Branch explosion back in 2016, that was one of the issues that was raised, the affordable housing issue. Flower Branch, it was a large building, of course, and that, along with a lot of finger pointing, at the time, and a long investigation in that particular case. So, we will continue to watch this. Also, it looks like we will continue to watch what's happening with former President Donald Trump. He announced last night from Mar-a-Lago that he is running again, a third run after losing in 2020. I watched the speech last night, and like I think a lot of the pundits who were watching last night, this appeared to be a more subdued Donald Trump. But I will also say that the speech reminded me of the American Carnage speech that we heard from the floor of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland when he accepted his party's nomination. Is this, Jamila, that Donald Trump 2.0, or is this just a refresh?
Oh, good Lord. Okay. So, okay. No FCC fine. I can't say none of them four-letter words.
No, you cannot. This is a family show.
Yes. Yes. All right. So here's the thing. Attorney General Merrick Garland is likely to indict the twice-impeached, one-term, disgraced, under-indictment in New York State ex-president Donald Trump. The fact that he is running allows this man to say, you can't be, he's going to repeat that big lie. I was elected and it was stolen from me, and you can't beat me at the ballot box. So these trumped up charges from the Department of Justice are just a ploy to keep me from leading the American people and making the country great again. He ain't got no choice but to run. What else can he do? Sit there and wait for more indictments to come down? Attorney General of the state of New York, Tish James, is not done with him yet. This is just something to keep the coffers full, because no SEC fine. Fools and their money are parted, and he's getting millions of dollars sent to him by people who believe foolishness and nonsense. This is just something that's going to happen, and then the multi-headed hydra that is Ron DeSantis in Florida is going to have epic battle with the idea of Trump running and supplanting the rise of DeSantis. This is going to cause the GOP to eat its own tail like a snake in a circle. It's going to be messy and beautiful to watch. Unfortunately, there will be people who amongst us, amongst journalists, who think that they're covering a legitimate presidential run. That's not this. This is a con man covering his tracks.
Mary, let me ask you, Mary, and I must commend you, Jamila, on your colorful metaphors. My goodness, if I ever had a problem with understanding what we're talking about here and your descriptions, I no longer do. Mary, this is, I think this still is a very, very significant development. It certainly makes the politics of the Republican Party, at a minimum, much more interesting, because it appears that there is a shift in some circles in the Republican Party away from Donald Trump.
Well, there is, but they knew who he was and what he was. You know, Lindsey Graham had said in 2016, if we nominate this man, he will destroy us and we will deserve it. And then he went from that to being a sycophant. This is a man awash in investigations. He's trying to stay out of that. He is someone the Republican Party begged to delay this announcement until after the Georgia runoff so he wouldn't suck up the spotlight. Well, of course, he craves the spotlight. You're right, Harold. His speech was very dark, full of comments about the storm coming, which is really QAnon language. It gave fact-checkers, they were really busy listening to this speech because it was full of his usual string of falsehoods. But the thing of it is Republicans thought they could control this man, that they could have his voters, and that he'd do what they said. And now they're finding that this person, oh no, he is not going to give up the spotlight. And even though Murdoch Publications and others have been distancing himself, folks like Pence, who you would never think would distance himself, is saying that they have better candidates. Ron DeSantis, of course, wants to take the mantle, which, let's face it, he is like Trump in many ways, but Trump will never, he will do everything he can. He's already started to insult Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, anybody that he thinks may be a rival. And the thing of it is he has a third of the party. So if there are a lot of people in the primaries, he still may end up on top. And interestingly enough, I'm sure the Republicans that disavowed him would still come back running. Remember, Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, after January 6th and the insurrection of 2021, they were like, this is terrible. And then they went to kiss the ring because they did not want to lose these base voters. And they cannot get rid of them. Even Ivanka has said she's stepping away. But he has, Jamila says, he has the money, he has a war chest, he can still get the crowds. And he is the Republican Party, whether they're trying to distance themselves or not. And look at what he's done. He's presided over losses, except in 2016, his own. But he is their personality. And try as they might, this man is not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I think you make an excellent point there. He is, at least as it relates with relates to the Republican Party, he is ubiquitous. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a comment or a question about some of the top stories of the week that we are talking about, give us a call. That, of course, includes, we talked about that building explosion in Montgomery County, but also President Trump running again, as well as some of the other movement that we're seeing on Capitol Hill regarding what's happening in the Senate and, of course, the House. This, of course, being projected to now be in control of the Republicans after this very, very tight midterm election. Also, we are going to take a look at the deadly shooting of members of the University of Virginia football team. We're going to talk about those HBCU bomb threats and a juvenile suspect, a black man being beaten by sheriff's deputies in a Georgia jail as well. So if you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. One of the things that I think that I found interesting, even leading up to this announcement, is, you know, as I said before, it appears that you do have that segment of the Republican Party that may have been lukewarm in their support, but now they, at least this hour, on this day, are certainly pulling away from the MAGA support. But how do they, you know, Jamila, how do Republicans balance this when, you know, Donald Trump, as Mary just said, he still has a strong support in at least one third of the party? Does this mean that Republicans are going to have to move differently in the way that they attract support? I want you to answer that on the other side. Also, Vernon, calling from D.C., we're going to talk to you in a bit, so please don't hang up. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And if you're on the phone, as I said, Vernon, stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This conversation will continue on SiriusXM and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back on SiriusXM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with some of the top stories of the week. My guests are Mary C. Curtis, columnist with The Roll Call and host of the Equal Time podcast, and Jamila Bay, news editor with Paramount. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Right before the break, Jamila, I was asking you about what strategy Republicans are going to have to use to attract, you know, voters back into the fold. Are they going to have to try to appeal to independents, suburban women voters, black people? That may be difficult, but what do you say?
You know, I am happily watching this because someone who studied political science in university, I never imagined that I would actually get to see what it looks like to view an empire in decline in real time. And that is what we are watching with this GOP. If you embrace that one-third that seeks to do nothing more than destroy, that seeks to make certain that he hurts the people he's supposed to. Remember that comment? If you embrace that, then you do so at the expense of ever being able to work with anyone else. You do that at the expense of the demographic shifts that outnumber you and continue to outnumber you as the days go by. You also look rather foolish, especially when your, you know, cult of personality is built around someone who gets indicted. That's coming. That is coming. This is not over. The January 6th hearings are not concluded. The results of that investigation have not come in yet. So if you align yourself, if you're a Republican, with that wing of your party, you're on a slippery slope on a shale mountainside covered in mud. You're going to slide, and you're going to slide quick. It's not about when. Forgive me, it's not about if. It's about when.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you try and reach out, and there's a whole bunch of people that are going to turn their nose up at you and say, oh, no, 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 no.
we don't trust you, we don't believe you, we're voting you out. And we saw that. We saw that with that red wave that didn't materialize. That was sort of like a red splotch because you threw a red sock in with the white wash.
And the thing of it is Republicans, this is Mary again,
sure,
lean so much into the culture issues. And basically they talked about inflation and things, but they had no plans. And you see, even in red states where they put things like reproductive rights and abortion rights on the ballots, people did not want these taken away. So when it comes to issues, great swaths of the country are against them. They don't want to take back same-sex marriage. They don't want to cut Social Security and Medicare. They do want to have reproductive rights and freedom. And, you know, that's why they were leaning into things like critical race theory and, you know, criminal black people and all of these other things and people coming over the border. But they really didn't have solutions. And, you know, what is it they have? What do you got? And they didn't have a lot. What they had was election deniers, meanness. You know, I really do think, I wrote a column about this. Most people can agree, whatever your political position, that hitting an 82-year-old man on the head with a hammer is not a good thing. Yet you had people spreading conspiracy theories and making jokes. That's what they had. And as Jamila said, you got to give voters and you got to give citizens and young people, you got to give them something. And, you know, people said, oh, Biden, this student relief won't work. Well, there's some young people that came out and kind of liked it. They want to hear someone talk about climate and do something about it in the, in some of the legislation that was passed. When people get serious, some of the things that the Republicans were selling, well, there were no takers.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Oh, Vernon, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Vernon. What's on your mind?
Yes. He thinks that he's Trump, thinks that he's Teflon Don, because that's how he ran his whole campaign. That's his whole story. He strives for power, and he'll do anything to get power, to keep it, and he'll distort any truth to get power and maintain it. However, we as a country, we need to look at what it really takes to be a great America. Don't be fooled by the illusion that these Republicans have been putting out there all along. America will never be the great America that it aspires to be as long as the Republican Party is in control. Don't be fooled by that. All these years, we know what the Republicans stand for. The ones who, those so-called conservative, we know what they stand for. The ones who back Trump, put it like that, and people like Trump who want to make America polarized. That's what it's all about. That's
okay.
Great. That's what great America is to them.
Well, Vernon, thank you so much for your comment. Before I take another phone call, I wanted to ask you about something that Vernon just said, and it just struck me. He said that, you know, Donald Trump thinks that he's a Teflon Don. But one of the things that we have seen, not only during his first campaign, but even during his presidency, is that he literally tested the limits of what was a common practice for decades, and in some cases, one could argue since the founding of the presidency in this country, of what would be the norm, and has not suffered from it, whether these were big things, or little things. And I'll ask you about that first, Mary. Every time he pushed the envelope, there was a lot of harumphing, but that was it. You talk about this tax issue. We still haven't seen his taxes. We know that historically, ever since Richard Nixon and the Checkers scandal, that it became a practice, but it wasn't, you know, for decades, it wasn't a law. And he was able to say what he wanted to so that no one could see his taxes. When you're talking about the use, for example, of secure telephones to make phone calls. Well, we know that, you know, you become president, they take your personal phone and they give you one that has all of the security on it. Well, that we know from lots of reporting that he skirted that. He took away the quote unquote sign in book for who was visiting the White House. So, you know, I guess my question is, you know, is he the Teflon Don? Because he has pushed the limits of what has been expected of presidents for decades and decades.
In a way, yes. People were kept looking for, is there a bottom? Is there a low? And he did it all. He made racist comments, anti-Semitic comments, you know, he's still talking about, you know, Jews in America, you're not voting for me, you better watch it, you know, you better support Israel. Mocking people with disabilities. Remember everything he would do, people said, this is it. The Access Hollywood tape, and appraising dictators, saying, you know, calling January 6th rioters, encouraging them, talking about Charlottesville. And so the list is long.
We're even talking about the profits from his hotel.
I'm sorry?
The profits from his hotel.
Yes.
That just coming out.
Stuff, yeah. It's so interesting. People would say, he says what I'm thinking or what people think. I'm like, he doesn't say what I think. I mean, I covered him in these rallies where he would, at every point, he would attack someone. He would point to the press and have people turn and boo and even worse and talk about knocking out protesters and things like that. But I do think a lot of his success was at a moment. It was 8 years after a black president, President Barack Obama, and some people praised that, but there were a lot of people that were seething with resentment. That wasn't what their idea of America was. So the ground was fertile for someone like a Donald Trump who trafficked in the politics of grievance, where he's the victim, and he would say to the people who voted for him, you're victims, they look down on you. When in reality, of course, he wouldn't let them within a mile of his club, right? So, you know, I do think that he shifted the ground of politics. But I do think he's a singular figure. So when people like Carrie Lake in Arizona tried to be a mini Trump, it didn't work for her. You know, and I do think at a certain point at the end, I do think when they all started joking about Paul Pelosi and such, there may be some independent voters who would say, you know what, I just can't go along with that. So, I mean, I've always hoped that we could come back with decency and morality, and I do think, you know, Joe Biden is denigrated, and people said, oh, he shouldn't be making speeches about democracy and threats to democracy. People don't want to hear that. But apparently some people did.
Interesting. Mary, quick comment for you before I go to Reggie in Richmond. Jamila, quick comment from you before I go to Reggie.
We're watching the House of Cards fall apart, and these are the death rattles of a terrified and cornered beast.
I can always depend on you for colorful commentary.
<I love her. laughs>
Let me go to Reggie. Reggie calling from Richmond. Reggie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, peace and blessings.
Good to talk to you again.
The thing that terrifies me that you have a group called the Heritage Foundation, which is a think tank of the Republican Party, and there's an old saying in Washington, Democrats fall in love while Republicans fall in line. We've seen this over and over again that nobody strays away. Quick question for the panel. What does the Democrat have to do to nullify Manchin and the other individual in the Democrat Party? Because I get sick and tired of holding the party hostage. And also, what can Democrats do to get the ground going? Because a lot of people are really not happy about the way the Democrat Party is going.
Anybody want to take
well,
that?
Well, I'll jump in and say one thing, that's one reason why they're fighting so, this is Mary, fighting so hard for that Senate seat in Georgia with Raphael Warnock against Herschel Walker, because that will give them one extra seat that may, you know, nullify a little bit some of the pushback from Manchin and Sinema. So they really want that seat. But it's true. I think Democrats, they are expected to do some things because they have promised some work on criminal justice reform and voting rights, and voters are calling them to account on that. So they're going to have to try to pass something, I think, to keep their voters excited. But right now they're concentrating on winning that seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Reggie, thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to one of our next topics. And we have this really horrible situation at the University of Virginia. You have five members of the football team who were shot. Three of them were murdered. We have a former member of the football team who is now behind bars, held without bail. And it is... It's almost... There are so many moving pieces to this story, Jamila. Is this a mental health story? Is this gun control? Is this, someone who had, previous gun convictions, falling through the cracks? We heard about a hazing incident that happened earlier this year. What?
Well, here's the thing, too. First of all, young people in this country, I would argue most Americans, especially as we've come out of the quarantine and, the turmoil politically that we've seen in this country, people are probably more disconnected from one another than we've been in a while. The reality that guns are easy to come by means that when you have disaffected young people, when you have angry people, when you have folks who are hell-bent on causing harm, they're not fighting with fists anymore. This isn't a rumble like they had in times gone by. You have deadly weapons that work very well and inflict massive damage. So before we go off onto the mental health and the bottom line is that we have an issue in this country that we know making it harder for folks, particularly those who have been flagged for potential violence, and he's one such person, when we know that these are people who can have access to guns, things like this can happen. It's senseless and it's meaningless. And it's infuriating, but until we are willing as a country, state by state and federally, to talk about how do we want to protect the lot of us, how do we want to handle people who have been flagged as potential threats, the Second Amendment is not without limit, no matter what they tell you in Texas. We will see these types of things. So we're confounded and we're distraught, and some of the best of us are dead now. So this is sad.
Yeah. Mary, a thought from you?
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, first of all, I don't want to blame any of the victims here. I split my time between D.C. and Charlotte, North Carolina, and one of the young men went to high school, Devin Chandler. He was shot while he was sleeping on the bus, and people were on there, said that these were great kids. He had just transferred, actually, from the University of Wisconsin, and they had been on this trip. And I agree with Jamila. I just assume everybody has guns now. So if they're in a traffic stop, or it's almost, I don't even honk the horn because people get angry and they are armed. Everybody is armed, and in some of the states now you don't need any training or anything. And I think all the polls show that Americans do want sensible gun control. People send their children to schools, elementary, high, and college, and now they have shooter drills. And they, you're wondering, will they be safe? My son's a professor. It's like you know, I wonder if it's like it's untenable that as a society, other countries look at us. You know, when they had that shooting in New Zealand, they immediately had a law. You know, it's like this happened, and we're going to do. Now it's commonplace. It's almost as though we don't even talk about these, or they're only a one-day story, unless it's a double digit of people who are killed. And in all of these cases, these are people with families, and it reverberates. And I don't know what it will take. You know, and it's important to young people. That's one of the issues that's important to them. So maybe, you know, they will get out and be serious and vote, and politicians will face consequences if they don't listen, because this just can't keep happening. It just can't.
Much to think about when we look at this University of Virginia situation. And again, something else that we're going to continue to watch. Speaking of college campuses, one of the things that almost slipped under the radar this week is the comment by FBI Director Christopher Wray when he was speaking on Capitol Hill, saying that a juvenile, one person, is responsible for dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, I needed to add those other dozens, of bomb threats against HBCUs, at least 57, including Howard University and Spelman and Morehouse, my alma mater, Morgan State, and it happened at Bowie State, and we could go on. But the thing that is disturbing is that Director Wray said that he believes that these things were racially motivated, but that the juvenile involved was too young to be charged with federal hate crimes and has been charged under other state offenses. So we know very little about the suspect in this case, and we don't know what is going to happen. But it just appears to me that this wasn't a prank against one school one day. This was dozens of HBCUs. Classes were stopped. There were evacuations. There were alerts. It cost these universities, on the whole, millions, you know, of dollars in lost work time and additional security. Jamila, it was a mess. Jamila, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. Beg pardon. This was a terror campaign waged by allegedly one individual, and because this individual is a juvenile, well, then they're just going to be tried as a juvenile, charged as a juvenile, treated as such. No. This is absolutely not an acceptable response. You know, this climate that was created, this fear, this terror, this uncertainty, this learning loss on top of the learning loss from when 2 years of COVID quarantine meant that some of our best and brightest were not getting, you know, the full breadth of their education. So they get to go back to campus, and some terrorist makes it so that they can't show up at school and they're afraid if they'll live or not. Yeah, this is a problem, and this is not one that should easily be swept away and expunged when that terrorist turns, you know, 21 or whatever it is. We journalists have to do some freedom of information request and dig into this more deeply. This is most certainly not over in terms of what we're going to find out about the terrorists that did this.
And Mary, you know the old saying, you know, racism is learned. You're not born with it. And so, you know, my question is, if this is such a young person, like they always say with just about any other troubled issue in the community involving young people, where are the parents and who are the parents and, you know, where is this coming from?
Yeah, you know, remember they used to say, as the young people come up, they won't have as much hate and society will get better. And then you've got a young Dylann Roof shooting up the black church in Charleston, the young man who drove to the Buffalo supermarket specifically to shoot black people, the man who drove miles to El Paso to shoot Mexican Americans. So, yes, I mean, they are consuming the hate, right? And that's why it's so frustrating when people want to not teach the history of this country as it is in schools. And it's a distorted view of this history because, you know, these young people grow up and consume things and they feel that the country is changing in ways that is unacceptable to them. And you do feel, what about the parents? You know, what are they learning? And it's so interesting to me that white males in particular, you know, no matter how old, it's like a youthful indiscretion. We have to understand them. We have to see they have problems. Where young black men at a young age, it's like throw them in jail, charge them as an adult, you know, all of these things. It's certainly a different set of standards. And as Jamila said, this isn't an isolated thing. This is a terror campaign, and it should be just investigated just like that. And it seems to me we don't pay enough attention to these kinds of stories and what they imply and how they resonate and how we really have to get things at the root. Instead, we'd rather do a whitewash and say this is an individual and, oh, by the way, ain't America grand. And we only want to teach a certain version of history that leaves out a lot of really basic truths. And,
yeah.
And I think that's terrible for the younger generation.
There probably needs to be a new vaccine for affluenza. when it seems that, at least in this case, on the surface of it, that it appears that someone who has some kind of affluence or privilege is not having the book thrown at them. Makes you wonder how young is too young for federal charges.
We've seen it before.
Yeah. Final topic, another disturbing, I mean, this is the doom and gloom a daily drum today, no question about it. This issue coming up out of Camden, Georgia, where 41-year-old black man was seen being beaten by sheriff's deputies in a jail cell. After he was arrested for driving on a suspended license, speeding, and a minor drug charge, Jarrett Hobbs, a 41-year-old man from North Carolina. The video is horrific. There are several videos. His attorney has released it. He survived, but in an interview, he said, I knew if I fell to the ground while this was happening that, and I could be, I'm paraphrasing here, he said he could be another George Floyd. Jamila, I'll let you have a word about this.
I certainly hope so. This is not rare. This is not unique. The issue is that it was on camera and it got out. Good. I hope it's the next George Floyd. You do not give up your rights as a citizen. You do not give up your rights to have bodily autonomy. And this goes on too often. It's time for something to make it stop.
And I think the interesting thing to me is that there was this video. This happened, according to reports, on September 3rd. This information came out on November 13th. And so someone knew that this had happened. This video was there. And it's just kind of amazing to me, like as Jamila said, yes, here we go again. It's another I told you so. This thing is constantly happening. They were saying that he was having some kind of mental issue and was asking to be sequestered within the jail, and he was. But, you know, Mary, I'm still, you know, wondering what kind of explanation there could possibly be.
There is none. You know, that's when you give someone care. That's when you treat them like a human being. But it's obvious that so many times they don't see him, us, as human beings. And it's also clear that some people are police officers. And, you know, you always say, yes, there are some good police officers. But who see that as they have the power, authority, weapons, and they can do whatever they want. And who's the criminal? Who's the criminal?
Yeah, a lot to think about. Again, as I mentioned in the beginning of our discussion, history made in Los Angeles. Congresswoman Karen Bass projected to be the winner, and the mayor-elect of Los Angeles, a really, really big deal, also projected that the Republicans have flipped the House of Representatives. So we are talking on Capitol Hill about a House divided. Democrats in the Senate, Republicans running the House. As I said in the beginning, it's going to continue to be interesting. Jamila Bay, Mary C. Curtis, thank you for talking to us. I appreciate your intellect and input. And Jamila, always your colorful descriptions.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Mary. You are wonderful.
Thank you. You're wonderful. Expect plenty of Hunter Biden investigations. I don't think the country wants that, but whatever.
There we go. A little footnote to end the program. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, November 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.